It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic, biological nature of events as they relate to climate. Two things really occupying my thoughts these days about phenology, neither of them very relative to the actual change of the seasons. The first thing was there were a lot of notes on KAXE, KBXE Season Watch page about a moose that took a swim in Lake Bemidji, and it ended well, but it could have easily gone awry. The police in Bemidji were sort of a little bit frantic to keep people away from the lake so that the moose could get out of the lake. I'm a distant swimmer myself, but after, you know, an hour or an hour and a half in the water, you're kind of ready to get back out. And I think the moose felt the same way. Lucky for the moose, he found a place where he could get out of the lake and get back into the woods, which is more his natural habitat. I saw some great pictures on our Season Watch page, and you may want to check those out as well. Moose are amazing animals, and they are working very hard to survive in our warming climate. So that was the one thing that kind of caught my eye on the Season Watch page. The other thing that has been foremost in my mind and in the minds of a lot of people, including the fellow from Nisswa who sent a note along saying that he had 100 painted lady butterflies in his yard last week. Painted lady butterflies are everywhere right now, and it got me wondering. Now, there is another butterfly that looks very much like the painted lady called the American lady, or sometimes the American painted lady, and the two of them are easily confused. But for the most part, what I am seeing are the painted lady butterflies, Vanessa cardui, as opposed to Vanessa virginiensis. And they differ slightly. When you look at the American painted lady, you're going to see a lot of orange with the same black wingtips that you see on the painted lady. The painted lady isn't nearly as orange, has more black in its wings. And the painted lady has four dark spots on the hind wing that sort of delineate the lower part of the hind wing. The American lady butterfly has four dark spots that actually look like a band of black and are bookended by two blue dots that are circled by black. So you've got this sort of slash of black on the hind wing of the American lady with two little blue dots, one at either end. Looking at Larry Weber's great book, Butterflies of the North Woods, and by the way, if you are searching out field guides, I recommend the Northwoods Naturalist Series field guides. They're published in Duluth by Sparky Stensis and Rick Kolath, and they are graded and set up for northeastern Minnesota. So when you look in these books, you're not looking at 14 different butterflies that look quite a bit alike, but some live in Florida and some live in Connecticut and some live out here in Minnesota. These books focus on butterflies. They have a whole library of different field guides, but all of them focus on northern and northeastern Minnesota. So you don't spend a lot of time looking at butterflies that you aren't likely to see here at any rate. Anyway, Larry goes on to say something about both the painted lady and the American lady butterflies. He says of the American lady, adults probably do not survive winter this far north, but may hibernate further south. Populations vary dramatically from year to year. Young caterpillars feed on leaves, while mature larvae feed on flowers. And then he goes on to say about the painted lady butterfly, the most common cosmopolitan butterfly in the world, found in North America, Northern Europe, Asia, India, and Africa. And he says this about them. Painted ladies are both cyclic and migratory. Being cyclic, they have years of populations highs and lows. Being migratory, they winter in the southern United States and return early in the spring. Upon arrival, the adults lay eggs and die by the end of May. By late summer, the next generation of painted ladies will feed on soil minerals and garden flowers. That from his backyard almanac. The adult food for the painted lady: blackberries, catnip, Labrador tea, lupins, red clover, milkweed, Joe Pieweed, aster, blazing star. And from my own notes, I would have to say also sedum. And the adult food for the American lady is red clover, choke cherry, lilac, bog rosemary, Labrador tea, self-heal, spreading dogbane, common milkweed, orange hawkweed, asters, goldenrods. Newly emerged males may be found at puddles. So painted lady and American lady. The painted lady, by the way, if you see the underside of the wing, the painted lady has a kind of a pink spot on the forewing and then two large eye spots on the hind wing. The painted lady, that was the American lady, the pink with on the forewing and the two large eye spots on the hind wing. The painted lady also has a bit of pink on its forewing, but it has four eye spots on its hind wing. So two eye spots, two big eye spots on the American lady and four smaller eye spots on the painted lady. And just to reiterate, they're being cyclic. They have years of populations, highs and lows. Presently, we are experiencing a real high for painted lady butterflies. They are the most common butterfly you're likely to see if you're out and about today. Other notes then about what's going on in our area, I would have to say the pines have really caught my eye. The Norway pines, the white pines, both are well on their way to coloring the 3 to 5 year old needles. Those needles are going to begin to fall any day now. And you will see great drifts of them laying on the roads. Nothing wrong with your pine trees. This is entirely normal. The balsams and the spruce will do the same thing. The white cedars are doing the same thing. So just watch and enjoy. It's their normal process to be getting rid of these needles that have outlived their usefulness, the older needles, the 3 to 5 year old needles of the pines, spruces, firs, and cedars are all going to start to color and then drop. Mountain maple, a shrub maple that is common in northern Minnesota, is beginning to fleck. That is, I'm seeing the first yellow leaves starting to form on the mountain maples, at least the ones in my yard. I was down along the southern shore of Mille Lacs Lake on Sunday, and there was a meadow down there, an abandoned meadow that had a few trees in it, lots of wild grasses, and then these clusters of shrubs. And I didn't get out of my car and go over and look at them, but they were uniformly deep purple, burgundy, deep burgundy in color. And I suspect that they were probably arrowwood, because that's what happens to arrowwood. And that coloration, that deep purple coloration. I haven't seen a lot of that on the arrowwoods around here, but these were out in the open and they were stunning. I really should have stopped and gotten out and walked over there and checked them out, but I didn't. But arrowwood is one of those that does turn a deep purple this time of year. So Other than that, like balsam poplars, the balm of Gilead, they are well on their way to being full color. There's some right outside the window here that are flecking, but there are others, especially on my property and over by the Warba Northern Lights Community School, that are well on their way to being full color and probably past their prime already and kind of heading toward dropping their leaves. So that's the balsam poplars. I haven't seen much of a change in the aspens, in the quaking aspens. Nothing going on there yet. Tamarack, I noticed yesterday the first few tamaracks were starting to show a little bit of color. Black ash have gone past their prime, and as the kids noted in their talkback segments, the leaves on the black ash are really starting to fall right now, and it won't be too long, and they will be completely free of leaves, and that is not unusual. Black ash, they grow in the worst soils, or in the wettest soils. They pick a pretty marginal spot to grow, and I guess maybe that's where they succeed. But they leaf out last in the spring, and they drop their leaves first in the fall, so they spend the least amount of time gathering energy to succeed, but they still manage. Bur oaks are just beginning to take on a little color. The white oak family are beginning to take on a little color. I'm seeing a little more color on the red oaks. Pardon me. The American hazelnut, at least the American hazelnuts in my property, are well on their way towards being peak. Now, American hazel and beaked hazel, you know, if you look at the leaf in the middle of summer, they're pretty hard to determine the difference. But this time of year, the American hazel turns red and the beaked hazel turns yellow. So they're pretty easy to pick out right now. Mountain ash are beginning to show some color on their leaves, just starting, and the fruits on the mountain ash are absolutely gorgeous and being consumed probably even as I speak to you this morning somewhere out in the KAXE, KBXE listening area. There are cedar waxwings dining on the berries of the mountain ash. One of the talkbacks from the schools, the kids noted that there were a few robins around. And this is a kind of an interesting time of year because the local robins have sort of moved out of the area. You're not seeing, I'm not seeing a lot of robins right now, but in a week or two, they will flood the area as robins from the north of here begin to migrate through in big flocks. So don't be alarmed. The robins are not, they haven't abandoned us yet, but they are, the locals have moved on and the northern robins haven't showed up yet. So keep an eye out for them. Out on the bogs the other day, I noticed a couple of things. One, there are a few bog rosemary that are blooming. This is way out of season for them, and perhaps it has to do with the amount of light and dark. I don't know, but there are a few bog rosemary, both within the enclosures that I work in and outside of the enclosures, just in the bog randomly. There are a few bog rosemary, and these are a little like 3/4 inch wide pink flower, pretty hard to miss in all of that green of the bogs. While I was in the bog last week, there had to be a migration of winter wrens because the whole bog, it seemed like every transect I walked out on, there were small dark brown birds flitting around in the Labrador tea and at the base of the spruce and tamaracks, and they were even inside the enclosures, and there were winter wrens just everywhere, so I assume that they were migrating. Red meadowhawk, dragonflies, they could be the white-faced, they could be the yellow-legged, they could be the saffrons. There are a lot of little red meadowhawk butterflies. The males are red, the females tend to be kind of golden-colored, and they were out, and actually some were breeding yesterday at the bog. I saw a male with a female in tow, and they were flying together. What will happen there is that they will go out to the grasses where they think that there might be some flooding in the spring, and she will lay her eggs in those grasses. And because of that habit of laying eggs in grasses, sometimes you'll see them doing this in your yard. You'll see the little females dipping their tails down and touching little blades of grass in your yard, and that meadowhawk dragonfly is getting ready for next spring, going to lay some eggs, and those eggs will eventually hatch. Provided the grass that they're laid in gets flooded, they will hatch and become naiads, I guess they're called, in the water. And after that, you'll have another flock of red meadowhawk dragonflies to look at in the fall. And they will persist. I've seen them as late as November. If you get a nice day in early November where the temperatures climb into the 50s, you'll see some red meadowhawk dragonflies flying around. The other dragonfly I saw yesterday was the big blue darner, and they're doing just fine. Let's see what else. I came across a red osier dogwood the other day with some students, and it brought up the interesting thing about red osier dogwood is that it is an indeterminately flowering plant, and that means that it can flower any time of the spring through fall year. It doesn't flower in the winter, obviously, but this plant, this red osier dogwood that we were looking at, had new open flowers, it had fruits that were ripe, and it had fruits that were getting ripe. And all of this on a plant that was also just starting to turn red. So here's a plant that doesn't really care. It's going to flower whenever it can. Finally, a note about, well, a couple final notes. One about sumacs and this trip that I took down to Mille Lacs. There was I went down 47 on the east side through Isle and that way. And there were these great swaths of sumac. And sumac are rhizotomous. So you start with a single sumac, a seed falls, hits the right spot, sumac grows. That one grows, and then the roots start to spread underground, and more come up from that root. And what it does is it creates this sort of undulating patch of sumac that starts kind of low near the edges, because those are the youngest ones, and then goes up to the peak in the middle where the oldest ones are. And right now they're getting quite red, so sumac are pretty easy to see. And this undulating nature and the spreading nature of the patch is really easy to spot right now. So check that out. Two final notes. One, the woodbine is bright red right now. It is a vine. It grows up on just about anything from telephone poles to spruce and balsam. If you're driving along and you see a tree that is mostly green, and then you'll see a big thatch of red in the middle of it, that probably is woodbine, and it is just about everywhere out there. And let me think now. I had one more thing I was going to tell you about, but I have forgotten it, so I will let it go there. That's all we have for today. Don't forget to tune in again next week.